And I know that this guy, who I wish he could still suit up and play center. It's not that the Canes offensive line isn't doing well, but I know this guy would love to crack some skulls on Saturday. KC Jones joins us now on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. KC, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, Alex. You know what the best thing about football is?
What's that?
It's over. I don't have to do it anymore. I can just be right talking about it now.
So,
much easier on this side.
So is that something that you're at peace with being done playing the game? Like you're at peace with that? Like Tony Romo is at peace with it? You'd rather talk about the game at this point?
The older I get, the better I was, Alex, and I'm perfectly fine hanging out with you, where it's nice and cool in the shade. You're always right. You're always right in the booth, man. I love it.
Now, aside from the car accident you got in with a bad Uber driver last year, how does your body feel after football?
My body is actually surprisingly just getting better and better, man. I spent playing football, you do a whole lot of different exercises that shorten your muscles, and I've been doing for the last probably 15 years unwinding myself from those exercises, like the heavy squats, the heavy bench presses. And I was measured this morning at my doctor's at my physical at 6'2 1/4". I was barely 6'1" in my pro day.
Really?
In college. Yeah. So that just goes to show you what football does to you. You know, it's just that heavy impact, and it just kind of weighs on you on a daily basis. So I've done a good job unwinding myself, and I actually feel pretty damn good, man, going into Florida State week this week.
Good to hear that, man. And I would like you to tell me what Florida State week feels like. As a former Miami Hurricanes standout yourself, what kind of emotions would run through your mind when you prepare to play Florida State?
Well, I think it's everybody's watching, right? And this is the reason you go to Miami. And on the other side, this is the reason you go to Florida State. And this is the way you're going to be measured as a team, as an individual, as a position player. When I go back to reunions for football at the University of Miami, they ask me, there's two things we talk about. There's national championships and beating Florida State. those are the two items on the agenda every time. So this it goes without saying, the same measurement is outstanding for these guys as well.
You know, KC, I've been saying all week, and I mean it, that I'm not cocky here, because for as bad as Florida State has looked this year, this is still a home game for them in a tough place to play. It's still a rivalry game. I believe you throw the records out the window. How do you feel about that whole thing?
It is cliche, but it is true. Think back to last year. Florida State loses a very badly to Louisville team against Lamar Jackson. Then they look like they almost quit against North Carolina the following week. Then they're coming down to Miami to play a number 10 ranked Miami team that's streaking. You know, won four games before this game, and comes down to a kick at the end of the game. Miami loses.
Yeah,
seven straight. So take a look at, you know, fast forward one more year. A bad loss against Alabama, another bad loss to North Carolina State. They're showing signs of life against Wake Forest. No doubt about it, you're going to get their best shot. And this is still a very well-coached team full of a bunch of great athletes, on par with what Miami has right now.
Now, KC, you, of course, you and Don Bailey are my go-to guys when it comes to offensive line talk. You both played center at the U, and offensive line has been, I think, the biggest problem with Florida State so far this year. It's not just been the fact they have a freshman quarterback. It's the fact they can't protect their freshman quarterback. What have you seen from that O-line?
There's a lot of, when I watched the game against Wake Forest, there's a lot of guys staring at each other and asking questions at the end of the play. I thought you were coming with me. I thought we had this linebacker. There's a lot of disarray and a lot of miscommunication on the offensive line, which leads to what their performance was last week. They gave up 5 sacks and 15 tackles for loss. That's not good.
Right.
That's not good. But make no mistake about it. You're going to get your best shot from Florida State. They got a hell of a defense. And if they can fine tune that offense, it's going to be a great game.
And so, you know, blocking aside, what have you seen from their quarterback? He's got a lot of talent, this James Blackman, but he's really skinny beanpole of a kid, 18-year-old true freshman, 175 pounds, but can he play?
Of course he can. He wouldn't have gotten recruited by everybody in the country, and especially Florida State, if not. I think he looked like a kid that didn't expect to play his freshman year, and I don't think anybody else expected him to play. But when you go to Florida State, when you go to Miami, it's next man up. And so he's had to respond, and the guy's got talent. He's physically not very imposing, but he is very athletically gifted. He can run, and he's got a really nice deep ball. He can put some very a good touch on a deep ball. He's definitely going to test Miami's secondary.
KC Jones is with us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. This man is a former center at the University of Miami. He's a UM Sports Hall of Famer, not to mention a two-time Super Bowl champion with the Denver Broncos. This guy knows what it means to win at a very high level. Now, KC, I wanted to ask you about something because, you know, during like the Al Golden years, during the Randy Shannon years, the later Larry Coker years, Miami had kind of lost some of that spark and lost some of that swagger. I know that's the magic word we like to use. And I think that one of the great steps in bringing some of that swagger back is something like this turnover chain. Like, what a brilliant idea. And you know, it's viral. It's all over Twitter. It's all over SportsCenter every time, you know, whether it's Pinckney or Malik Young, whoever puts on the turnover chain. I mean, how cool is this? And is this something that can really, like, make high school kids excited about playing at the U?
I think so. It's crazy enough and silly enough, but it's one of those things that embodies the culture of Miami, right? The gold chains, that swagger. But it's also an opportunity for kids, once they make a big play, to get on TV. You know, you see
right.
Pinckney, when he made that interception, he's running to the sideline. He's looking for the turnover chain.
Hey, and you notice how guys can't even wait to take their helmet off. Like, I'm afraid about penalties.
And you got one against Toledo, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But I think everybody knows now everybody kind of ushers the person who's going to get the chain who's about to be adorned by this big, huge, heavy-gauge gold chain and the big U. Everybody gathers around and pushes them off the field. But everybody knows that when they create a turnover, when you create a big play for that defense, you're guaranteed TV time on a national stage. It's awesome.
How come they don't do stuff like this for offensive linemen? Like you get like a big pancake block. I want to see like a pancake chain or something.
Maybe that's next, Alex. Maybe that's next. I don't know. I think you reward offensive linemen with food. I think that's what you do.
Yeah.
I think, and that it wouldn't look good for. It wouldn't be a good look to have like a pizza buffet on the sideline, you know, during the game. I don't think that's a good look.
How great would that be if you get like one of those like Pizza Hut apple pies on the sideline?
Oh,
if,
yeah.
If you make a big play, get some crazy bread or something.
Bunch of cocktails, beer, and cocktails, man. All right on the sideline. I think that'd go well with the turnover chain.
And how have you liked the play of this offensive line, KC? It seems like they've really done a nice job opening holes for Mark Walton.
You know, they have, and they're, you know, I think that they're they need to take a big step forward. I was not really impressed with what they did against Duke. I think they did really well those first two drives. The next seven drives, there's five punts, one field goal, and an interception. And they didn't really block too many people during those seven drives, to be quite honest with you. Duke did a great job. They're a good front seven. They mixed it up with stunts and a couple different looks that Miami hadn't practiced against. Mm. But it took them until the fourth quarter to really adjust to a Duke team that they, you know, that game should have got out of hand a lot earlier than the fourth quarter. But I think they struggled at points, and I think that's something that they know going into this week against Florida State.
You know, KC, you mentioned the word adjustments. I want to read you a cool stat that I saw from the website stateoftheu.com today. And this kind of outlines, you know, that adjustments are actually a strength of this Miami's coaching staff,
right?
Where, you know, previous coaching staffs, this was a big weakness. So, and this first, it points to Florida State, their recent dominance. Jimbo Fisher has dominated Miami after halftime the last five seasons. The last 5 years, Florida State has outscored Miami 86-33 in second halves of games. Meanwhile, so far, Mark Richt and Manny Diaz, in the eight, and these are not against Florida State, of course, but in the eight straight games overall that Miami has won dating back to last year, the Hurricanes have outscored opponents 155-45 in the second half of games. So does that back up what you see, KC, that this is a coaching staff that is actually capable of making halftime adjustments?
I think it's a lot of things. I think, one, absolutely, it's a great coaching staff that works very well together, that is not afraid to go back to the drawing board at halftime and make those adjustments. But it also has to do with the maturity of the kids, the talent of the kids that are on the field, and also something that they've talked about for a long time in Miami is being a fourth-quarter team. And that's all about – it has to do with the conditioning. And it's not the conditioning that you did last week or the week before. It's a year-round sport now. And I think Gus Felder has done an excellent job getting these guys in the right shape and in football shape in a very short time.
KC, what's it like going on the road to Doak Campbell Stadium?
Well, first of all, you don't stay at the Ritz. There's no Ritz.
Travelodge.
No Tallahassee. There's a lot of bus time. But you know what? At the end of the day, when you show up, is what college football is all about. Two very evenly matched teams that have a history of competition that goes back for 30 years, right? And you're going to get the best shot of each team each and every year. It's a game where a lot of the guys know each other. A lot of guys played against each other in high school. A lot of guys played with each other in high school. So it's a lot of bragging rights on the table during this game. But for me, being from a kind of an outsider coming from Texas, this is a game I look forward to as a measuring stick for my ability. You know, I knew that if I could compete against Florida State, first if I could compete at practice against my own guys, and then in a game situation compete against Florida State, I knew I was doing the right stuff.
Do you have a favorite Florida State memory, whether it be at Doak Campbell Stadium or at the Orange Bowl? Anything that really stand out to you?
Well, my favorite game of all time has got to be 1994. We played Florida State at the Orange Bowl. Both top 10 ranked teams, and it was like my first big Florida State game where it's a 8 o'clock kick. The whole nation's watching. The Orange Bowl was absolutely electric. We started. We didn't start off so good. We fumbled I think on the third play from scrimmage on the zone play to the left side. I took my took the opposing defensive tackle by the name of Kyle Spain. I put him on a rail and dumped him after about 10 yards. Even after that fumble, I knew we were going to win that game because we were going to be so much more physical up front than them. So that had to be my favorite game, man. It was a treat. It was a delight. And it was the best, one of my better performances and my favorite game overall at the game.
You know, although I do think that Miami's greatest advantage to exploit in this game would be the defense putting pressure on the quarterback, I also look on the offensive side of the football at what an X factor Amon Richards can bring. He came back last week, Casey, and he didn't even look 100%, but he still looked faster than everybody else on the field a week ago. I mean, what kind of an X factor can a guy like that be?
I think it's huge. I think it's also a huge boost. And he is, you go back to games like last year against Florida State, against Notre Dame, against West Virginia in the bowl game. When the offense is looking around for someone to make a play, Amon Richards is usually, he answers the call. And that goes as far as last week against Duke as well. You know, he shows up being out for the last 4 weeks with a hamstring injury. On his first play from scrimmage, his first try, he makes a play, right? And then even when he's not making a play, he's that deep threat. He's a guy that stresses a defense to the point where they're committed to stopping him by any means necessary. And it sometimes results in a personal foul or a pass interference that advances the ball as well. So he puts so much pressure on defenses that it's unbelievable. I love him back in the lineup. I think everybody does.
By the way, I have to pay off a bet this at some point this season, a home game to KC. It's amazing how you talk me into these betting lines. Here's the background, all right? KC and I made a friendly wager before the Toledo game. Now, I think Miami was favored, the official Vegas line for that game, Miami was favored by like 13.5, about two touchdowns. KC talked me into giving Toledo 23.5 points. Miami wins the game by 22 points, KC. I was so close. I was so close I could smell it. Except
so
now,
close.
Yeah, so close, which got me nowhere, because now I lose this bet. I've got to dust off the old kilt. I've got to wear it to a home game this year.
Yep.
And I have to wear some kind of a ridiculous hat that you're going to pick out for me.
So it's actually a hat / it's head covering, wig, could be lots of things.
Well, I need that anyway. I need head covering, so I'm fine with that.
Yeah, well, I think I've sent you a couple pictures of what I'm proposing.
Yeah.
And if you're fine with that, we'll go with that.
Yeah, you sent me one that was like a really lustrous blonde wig of hair, which is what my hair used to look like some 15 years ago. So we'll reminisce.
I want my man to look good.
Yeah, it's like the head of hair that like Matthew McConaughey had in Dazed and Confused. Like that's what I want.
And the stash. It comes with a stash.
Yeah. Oh man, I'll have to go down to the stash as well. So, oh man, and it's funny because you kept talking me up. I think at one point I said, "How about 21 points?" Which I would have won that by the skin of my teeth. You talked me into 23.5, and here we are.
Well, I'll give you something here, Alex.
Okay,
we can
okay.
talk about something that we call double or nothing.
Oh, great. Right? So what happens if I lose this one?
So the line opened. Florida State was a 1 point or 1.5 point favorite.
Uh-huh.
The line is now swung back to Miami. Miami's given 3.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
What is your number?
How about 6.5?
Canes by 6.5.
Yeah.
You can go 7.5, right?
See, this is what happens. All right, 7.5. Let's go 7.5. Let's do it.
I love it. I love it.
Let's do this. 7.5. All right, so explain to me how this double or nothing goes. So if I win, I don't have to do it? Is that how this works?
I mean, it might be a wig and a hat. It might be something. It might be just something crazy. We might get you in like a full regalia for like a Mardi Gras or something, or a Vegas showgirl.
All right, if Miami wins by at least 8 points, I don't have to dress up like an idiot.
But you have to wear the kilt. The kilt is that's just standard issue.
I still have to do that? How is this stuff like? So I'm not gaining anything here. I'm only losing.
Yeah, that's the idea.
No, hold on. Here's how it goes. Here's how it goes, Casey. If Miami covers my spread this weekend
of 8.5.
Yeah, 8. Well, hold on, 7.5. We said. 7.5. If Miami wins by at least 8, we're square. If Miami loses, you get to pick out my outfit from head to toe. How about that?
I like it.
All right.
I like it. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. You got some balls. Like, you do.
And they're going to be exposed if I have to wear that kilt.
8.5 points.
No, hold on. We agreed. We had a gentleman's agreement on 7.5, which obviously you can't win a football game by 7.5 points. That means 8 or more.
Eight points.
7.5 is the number. Miami has to win by at least 8, and then we're square. If Miami doesn't win by 8, you get to pick out my ridiculous outfit from the shoes to the hat.
I tell you what, the reason I think you might be in the money with this one is the player Malik Rozier. I think the guy is playing with more poise, more confidence. I think the guy is settling into that position very well. And that's a very different offense now that you have that run threat at quarterback. Don't you think, Alex?
I like it. Yeah, absolutely. It's the element. And in that case, see, that's what Mark Richt wanted, right? It's why, even though Mark Richt, of course, liked and respected Brad Kaya didn't really fit the Mark Richt prototype. That's not what he wanted in a quarterback.
Right. And I know everybody at the beginning of the season said it would have been a different team if Kaya had come back for his senior year. But going into this game, right now, with the way that offense is running and the way that, you know, Mark Richt, that's the way he wants it. He's not going to change it for anybody. I'm very, very comfortable with Malik Rozier at quarterback.
I'm glad to hear that. You can follow this man on Twitter at CanesFish, and you can hear him on this radio station with me Saturday morning, 11:30 a.m. for Hurricanes game day, broadcasting live at Milam's Market in Coconut Grove. KC, thank you so much for taking the time, my friend.
My pleasure, man. Go Canes.